How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, the headline reads, Crystal Cathedral Ministries, church and campus will be sold to Orange County developer. It's part of a bankruptcy settlement. The Crystal Cathedral has been experiencing some financial woes, to say the least, for some time now. But how did it happen? Did, ultimately, television do in the Crystal Cathedral as a megachurch congregation? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Wednesday afternoon, the 15th of June. Scott Thuma joins us from the Hartford Institute for Religion Research to talk about the sale of Crystal Cathedrals, their church, their campus, to this Orange County developer and the history of the Crystal Cathedral. A little bit later in this hour, Joe Dallas joins us. We'll talk about bullying, violence, and the Christian teaching about homosexuality. Scott Thuma is a professor of sociology of religion for the Hartford Institute for Religious Research, and he's author of the book Beyond Megachurch Myths and the forthcoming publication, The Other 80%. Scott, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Had I approached you 10 years ago and said, you know, 10 years from now, the Crystal Cathedral will be in bankruptcy and selling its 46-acre property to a developer to try and stay afloat financially, what would your reaction have been?
Well, I probably would have chuckled first, and then I wouldn't have been too surprised, actually. A number of us saw this headed that direction a while back. The area around the Crystal Cathedral was changing dramatically to Latino, and the model that Schuller used, the sort of televangelism model almost, was falling out of favor, and he was continuing to get older. So I think all of those things combined, along with them continuing to expand their empire there and build and expand. And so, you know, it was just a matter of time, in a sense, till they no longer could sustain it.
It isn't just a megachurch. It's a television phenomenon as well. Did television in some ways hamper the ability of this megachurch congregation to adapt to changing time, changing demographics?
Yeah, I think it complicated it in a couple of different ways. Certainly, what you just mentioned is a key one. The television audience and that image that they projected week after week meant that it was very hard to move past that. You know, they had a marketable product, and it was something that if they moved away from it, the viewership would have diminished and therefore brought in less money. But also, it acted as a catalyst for people visiting the West Coast. Oh, well, let's go to the Crystal Cathedral because we love it on television. So not only did you have a marketable product that would be hard to change, but you also had this constant influx of visitors and guests that would still fill the Crystal Cathedral, but weren't really regularly attending and contributing members. And so, you know, you have both a product that is hard to be changed, but an inflation of the numbers of people that come because of the television audience that they would have coming to visit all the time.
So in essence, it was also a tourist destination, but it wasn't really generating a ton of revenue for them.
That's exactly right. Not consistent revenue like a congregation of committed people would.
How much of it is due to the fact, and this may be applicable beyond, of course, the Crystal Cathedral, that this megachurch was built from its beginning, in some ways literally around Dr. Robert Schuller, one man?
Yeah, well, certainly that is absolutely the case for the Crystal Cathedral. And he and the building are synonymous with the church's identity. It's somewhat true for a handful of other megachurches, not entirely representative of the whole phenomena, but in this case, it makes it very difficult to transition to a new leader because you think of the Crystal Cathedral, you immediately think of him, and passing it to a family member, in this case, hadn't worked so well.
They did have some trouble with Robert Schuller, not senior. I don't know if he's junior, but he's not senior.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
He was more or less kind of ousted. Who actually is in charge of the organization, at least in terms of the flow chart, right now?
Well, I believe his daughter is at this point, although now with the filings, it's hard to know for sure, but I believe his daughter, Sheila Schuller Coleman, I believe is her name, is the recognized CEO of the organization. You know, it's a challenge there. I mean, it's always a challenge for prominent megachurches who have, you know, been shaped around one particular person to have succession planning and this sort of thing, but it's even more of a challenge here because the person that moves into that slot has to not only fill a very distinctive role, but they also have to be a TV personality on top of that immediately walking into that slot. And, they could be a good pastor and lead that church, but maybe not a good TV personality. But it's hard to find that exact combination, and especially hard if you're only looking at your siblings, your children.
Generally speaking, why do megachurches, and you have studied them for years, why do they rise, why do they fall?
Well, if I knew why they rose, I would be a millionaire by now. It is a bit of a challenge to know exactly what it is that causes them to grow so dramatically. Oftentimes it's the setting and the situation that they're in, a growing community. They might have a perfect combination of a vision and message for that community. And then something happens that creates buzz and people want to find out what's going on over there. It's a little easier to understand sort of how they decline. Especially in the earlier ones, there wasn't good succession planning. There wasn't any thought about what happens after our beloved leader, dies or decides to retire. But also, oftentimes, they get set in ways that they think produce their growth. So they have a form of worship, or they have an organizational model or an approach to the seekers or to some other key demographic that then shifts, and it's hard for a congregation that sees a particular approach as what caused their success to then try to reinvent themselves and move beyond that It's a very risky venture for a congregation of any size, but it's especially difficult when they have millions of dollars and, in debt, and also hundreds, maybe even tens of thousands of people following them. To make a shift is quite a difficult and scary possibility for some of these folks.
With less than a minute, Scott, out in Lake Forest, there's Saddleback under Rick Warren's guiding hand. Joel Osteen in Houston, Texas, with Lakewood, the largest megachurch in the United States. Do you anticipate them encountering similar problems decades down the line, given that they are, especially in Osteen's case, they are built around a similar personality and, in his case, a television presence as well? About a minute for a response.
Yeah, Osteen's an interesting case because he actually is the successor of his father, who had 9,000 or so attenders in a megachurch that was on TV. He died unexpectedly. Joel took his place and took it to new heights. I could see someone else moving in there, his brother perhaps, or someone else. But it is always a challenge for these congregations to figure out where God wants them to move, and then are they willing to move that direction. Schuller's congregation is growing, full of Latinos and Hispanics in the later afternoon. That congregation could easily become a Hispanic megachurch, but it would require a tremendous amount of change and risk, and it's not yet clear whether they're able to do that.
Scott Thuma is professor of the sociology of religion for the Hartford Institute for Religion Research, author of the book Beyond Megachurch Myths and the forthcoming publication, The Other 80%. Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good day.
When we come back, we'll talk with Joe Dallas about bullying, violence, and the Christian teaching on homosexuality.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.